Next case is number 03-1376, the United States against Terrell Arnold. Mr. Truitt.
May it please the court. The appellant defendant in his brief raised two issues. The first one concerns itself with the adequacy or correctness of Judge Lozano's ruling that the search, which involved pulling down the armrest in the back seat, perhaps another plastic cover, and peering into the trunk, was permissible under the Fourth Amendment and under Michigan versus Long. The second issue raised in our brief concerns whether this was a valid inventory search. We acknowledge that the district court judge did not rule and specifically declined to rule, finding that his decision in the Fourth Amendment issue resolved and he didn't need to go to that issue. We raised that issue with an abundance of caution because there have been some appellate court decisions that says if there's any grounds for sustaining a search, that would be sufficient, and did not want to get precluded from raising that if this court wished to go to an inventory search rationale. The United States, in a number of decisions, the Michigan versus Long, the New York versus Class, the Belton decision, have recognized that the police have a right to undertake, either based on a custodial arrest or a reasonable suspicion, a search of the passenger compartment of the motor vehicle.
And isn't the issue, frankly, what's the passenger compartment? Some of these older cases arose when cars looked, they were just different, and the court didn't say when the passenger compartment is small enough so that you can just reach in the back seat and find things. It could be a great big car with a passenger compartment or a smaller one. It could be an SUV at this point where you could go all the way back to the back window, or it could be one of these things where you can flip down the armrest and stick your hand from the passenger compartment into a limited area of the trunk. But I don't see what's the difference, since nobody is arguing that the officer here actually got out of the car, opened up the trunk, and looked at it that way. He did exactly the same thing, it appears, that Mr. Arnold did. I mean, from the passenger compartment, one could reach a limited part of the trunk. And I guess you're assuming there's this bright line between passenger compartment and trunk, which the hatchbacks, SUVs, the vans, I mean, so many different cars, that's not true.
I think that the Supreme Court has attempted to draw a bright line in this
case. But what
case.
If there isn't in the vehicle? What if it's a hatchback, or it's a back seat that folds down, and somebody has folded down half of the back seat because they have a cello in the trunk? So now you can see a portion of the trunk and touch it from the back seat.
Well, in that case, you would be in a position you would have a right to be, and then it would be a plain view situation.
But why can't you put an armrest down and have that be the same thing?
Because that allows you access to an area that has heretofore been not permitted under the Fourth Amendment.
Well, you're assuming the answer to the question, because the Fourth Amendment has allowed the passenger compartment to be accessible, and I take it there was no lock on this armrest, there was nothing, just flip it down and use it.
No, Your Honor, there's nothing in the record to suggest that this operated any other way than the typical armrest. You pull it down and then you open it.
Well, armrest is in the passenger compartment, right?
It is, yes, Your Honor.
So as a result of looking at that, you bring in a plain view something that's in the trunk, right?
By pulling that down, plain view has always been you are in a position where you have a right to be, and then something that you inadvertently discover is not considered to be an impermissible search. Once you open that armrest, you are now going into an area of the vehicle that heretofore has not been accessible under the Fourth Amendment. The trunk is only accessible if the officer has probable cause, there's consent, or it's an inventory search.
You approach it through the passenger compartment. So
I understand.
You need to go to the back and open up the back end of the vehicle.
Well, you know, if that is permissible, then I guess we could say he could. What's the difference then that he goes around and pops the trunk? On many cars.
Well, he's not in the passenger compartment when he does that. Here he's in the passenger compartment.
Well, you know, if you get into it from the passenger compartment, that's fine. Also, in the passenger compartment of many cars, there's a button that unlatches the trunk.
And but you're not reaching the trunk with that button. You're getting out of the car. I mean, the point is, what's the purpose of allowing the police officers to begin with to search the passenger compartment? Because somebody might put something dangerous, which this guy was able to do by slipping down the armrest. And certainly, you know, those tarps they have over the backs of some of the hatchbacks, if an officer just lifted that up with his hand, he's doing once again the same thing that the occupant of the car could do from the passenger compartment.
I think that particular decision is bad law, and I don't think that decision should be followed, because that's an affirmative act, and I don't think that goes beyond the reasonable expectation of somebody in the car.
But we let officers take other affirmative
actions. Yes, we do.
Like
we let them go
compartment.
The glove compartment, the dashboard panel. We permit
that
them to remove
the
radios.
You know, if you've got bucket seats, there's often a little storage compartment
that's
there.
Correct,
they can open those up. Why is this armrest different?
Because it allows entry into it. I believe it's an extension. This court decided Beers and said that a constructed holding compartment, a hidden holding compartment in the back ledge, was part of the passenger compartment, and therefore the police entry into that was permissible. That also was incident to a custodial arrest rather than a protective search. But this entry, to pull this down and to get into the, I understand the rationale, but it is the first time that a court has been confronted with an issue of whether you can go into an area that has been particularly and expressly prohibited without a finding of probable cause, consent, or an inventory search.
And did the officer violate any injunction when he brought down the armrest? Was that okay under the cases to bring down the armrest to see if there's anything behind it?
I have not found a case that
that's in the passenger compartment. You can't. What problem can you have with that?
Well, it forms the boundary between a passenger compartment and the trunk space.
In some cars it does, but there's some cars that have
armrests
you can pull down
think.
And there's a little wall still. How does he know which this is?
Your Honor raises an interesting point. And
let's assume it's permissible to pull down the armrest. And after that happens, the officer sees a gun through the opening. What's he supposed to do about it?
I think that would be permissible. I think if there is another panel that is either removable or pull-downable, which I believe was the case in this instance, then you are clearly into another space. And I don't think that would involve a danger to the officer. And I think that would be prohibited in this situation.
You mean he can't pull down the armrest? Is that what you're saying?
I think he can pull down the armrest. I think that's no
different
than... Well,
after he pulled it down, he saw the gun.
Well, I think he had to pull something else down. Or that there was another, but you were in the trunk space. It appears that this is an extension that hasn't been undertaken heretofore And the defendant feels that this is an issue that needs to be examined in the light of the prior holdings and a bright line that had been, I think, attempted to be placed in the passenger compartment and not the trunk. And we feel that the...
But the police have to understand the rules here. Now, if we're going to say the rule is you can't pull down the armrest, that I think, is an enforceable rule. But if you do pull down the armrest and you see a gun, then what are the rules provide then? It seems to me that they would permit you to take account of the gun.
That concludes my remarks. Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Holler.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Under the long standard, the police officer is entitled to search a passenger compartment limited to those areas in which a weapon may be placed or hidden if the officer possesses a reasonable belief based on specific and articulable facts that the suspect is dangerous and might gain immediate control of the weapon. The primary issue, in fact, that was litigated below was whether that reasonable suspicion existed, and the secondary issue was the passenger compartment, the legal issue that has been raised before the court today. The issue of the passenger compartment, as I attempted to trace in my brief, in the Belton case, the court was concerned about how to apply the grabbing rule of Kinnell versus California in the car context. And that, I believe, is really what Justice Stewart was doing in that decision, was simply saying, look, we want to try to establish a bright line rule for officers, and so what is the grabbing area? We're not going to make you do a per foot analysis of whether a driver can reach the back corner of the car or not, but we're going to really sort of give a little bit of leeway, but also give a bright line rule of expansiveness. And here, I guess the most salient point is that the gun in this case was within the grabbing distance of the defendant, because the defendant, in fact, took the gun and hid the gun in the backseat armrest. If you the videotape is actually exhibit, I believe, is actually in the record, and that's what the defendant did. He stopped his car, he took the gun off of his person, he opened the backseat armrest, and he placed the gun in there. So we're really not only, I think, not serving the purposes of Belton by restricting the definition of passenger compartment, but we're also potentially, at least, endangering officer safety.
I mean, it's kind of a case of res ipsa loquitur. We saw him do it.
It really is. I think that was the case in this case. And questions.
Does the policeman have to do anything other than bring down the armrest or bring it up in order to?
And that's what he was able to do. My
understanding. Any other? Did he do anything else?
What the defendant did?
No. I'm talking about the policeman
he did the same thing
the
car. That the defendant
did. He didn't do anything except move the armrest.
No,
but this particular car model, all you do is flip the armrest down and you can peek into the trunk a little bit.
My understanding of the car, the way it was described, I believe in the record, is it's something where there's sort of a button. You can either pull down the armrest and there is a back panel there, or you can, if you sort of just pull the armrest down itself, there's going to be a back panel that's going to keep the trunk area separate. So if someone wants to have an armrest and doesn't want to be falling into the trunk area, you can have that. You can also depress a button at the top of the armrest, and that's going to then pull down the whole thing, and that's going to then give you access to the trunk. What the defendant did was did that, and what the officer's testimony was is that he has participated in many hundreds of traffic stops before. He was familiar with this kind of car, and he, I think his testimony was he actually did pull down both at the same time. He could have pulled down simply one or the other. But the reality of the situation.
Well, then he was intending to look into the trunk, I suppose.
I think that he was intending to look into the trunk area. I believe that's correct. I think that at the same time, though, in the cases where, for example, Virus or some of these other cases where there are secret compartments that are being constructed in cars, I don't think that an officer necessarily always knows exactly what something's going to lead to. There's a latch. There's a thread here on the top of the. In Virus, there was a latch on the top of the back passenger area, and that opened up into the trunk area. I mean, I think it was probably fairly clear that is what was the case, but you don't necessarily know that fact. And under Horton, the officer's subjective intentions are not really considered in the plain view doctrine, which I have cited to in my brief, that when you do open that compartment in that way, if you don't know whether there's a back armrest or whether it's something that leads into trunk access, then the officer should be able to do it.
And we could have confined his search to the passenger compartment if he hadn't pressed this button that you're talking about.
I think that's correct. That is correct, Your Honor.
But he had seen the defendant moving inside the car.
He had seen the defendant, and that was the officer's testimony. I think it would be a strange rule to sort of permit the defendant. If the defendant happens to conceal the gun under his seat or happens to conceal the gun in a locked armrest or decides to detach his car radio and hide the gun back there, then when the officer has seen the defendant, in fact, do that very event, he's allowed to reach in under all of the case law and precedent in this court and retrieve the gun. And to say that because of the happenstance that the court in Belden in footnote 4 said you can't search a trunk, the fact that this gun was placed in a portion of that area of the car that is still accessible from the passenger compartment would be a very strange rule indeed. I think that they're not, you know, in Olgan Rivera in the Tenth Circuit, the court even, in that case, the officers actually did go to the back area of the trunk and opened it from the trunk. And the Tenth Circuit said, well, you could have reached that area from the passenger compartment by lifting the vinyl cover, and if you had done it that way, it would be okay. And so the same here. Here, you could reach the trunk area, that area of the car, from the passenger compartment.
So is that the bright line you're proposing? Anything that the officer can reach from the passenger compartment is fair game under
law? That's the line that we would recommend, and I believe the court cited in the Veras decision, which we relied on especially in the district court, cited in a parenthetical to the Thompson decision from the Eighth Circuit, which did expressly define the passenger compartment as whatever area is within a passenger's reach. Whatever area is within the reach of an occupant of the automobile from the passenger compartment of the automobile would be accessible, whether that's something that's within a sunroof, whether that's something that's in a glove compartment, or whether that's something here that's going to permit you access all the way to the back of a trunk. If it's something that you can reach from the passenger compartment, it is, under Long, something that the defendant could gain immediate control of. The defendant placed the weapon back there and could have gained control of the weapon again. I mean, it's also a consideration, as the officer testified, he initially did conduct a Terry stop of the defendant and did first the defendant. The defendant could also reach back and retrieve something from that. I mean, that's really the whole basis of the rule in Long is not so much that the defendant's going to hide contraband, it's that the defendant's going to gain access to a weapon. If the defendant can gain access to a weapon, or a passenger can gain access to a weapon from that trunk area simply by detaching that button on the armrest, then that's an area that the officer should be entitled to search for officer safety and protection. The reason that the trunk is different is because somebody in the passenger compartment can't get access to any kind of weapon or any kind of explosive or dangerous device in a trunk, and therefore there's no need for the officer under the Long standard or even under the Belton standard to be searching that unless there's probable cause. But in a case like this, where officer safety is a concern and is an issue, and there's reasonable suspicion here under Long, there's reasonable suspicion because of the observation that the officer made to believe that the suspect is dangerous and that a weapon may be in that location, that's part of the passenger compartment. I think something can, in this case, be both part of the trunk and part of the passenger compartment. It's not really a trunk as the court was using that term in Belton and by extension in Long. In this case, the area behind the backseat armrest is part of the passenger compartment because it is accessible to the passenger, and in this case, it was even accessible to the driver since that's where he placed the weapon. Because of that, we would ask that the court would affirm the judgment of the district court. If there are no further questions, I deserve to balance my time.
Thank you, Mr. Holler. Sir, your time had expired, therefore the case will be taken under advisement. With our thanks to both counsel.